make a joyful shout to the Lord. All you lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Good morning, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today, we ask you to take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send a note of thanks for worshiping with us today. This afternoon, all other activities normally scheduled at 3, 4, and 5 p.m. Are canceled. These particular activities, normally scheduled at these times on Sunday afternoon, will also be canceled on the remaining Sundays in August, typically when many members are away on vacation. At our Wednesday evening prayer service, Pastor Otero will be leading our study on the theology of Bible doctrine, and this coming Wednesday, he will be speaking on what the scriptures teach about the question, who is God the Father? Just a reminder, there will be a brief deacon's meeting after this service. Our scripture reading for today, printed in your bulletin, reads, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, and let us begin our worship now with hymn number 442, Praise Him, Praise Him. Let's continue our worship with hymn number 364, Yield Not to Temptation.
Thank you.
you please stand now as we sing hymn number 291, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
To the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we open our service with praises to your name because you are the one who initiated our salvation, the one who provided yourself, the Son of God, so that our sins can be paid off. And we are grateful this morning that we can sing praises to the name of a God who reached down to sinners like us and save us and move us in our life in such a way that now you call us saints in the name of God. Thank you, Father. We thank you that we can be one in Christ Jesus, who is that intercessor of our life, the Savior, the unity, the heart of our salvation. And now, Father, so we praise your name, and we pray that during this service, as the people gather together here in Bethel at Morgan Hill, they may leave the place with the joy that they have learned a lesson from the Lord, an encouraging lesson from the Lord. And then that the God has been so good that speak to our needs in such a way that if we have no Christ, we may know that there is a Christ who saves us. And if we have Christ, that we have a new direction for our life, a new way of life in which we can please our Savior. We are grateful for those who are listening over the KKMC area from Salinas to San Jose. And we are grateful for those of KKXX and Chico, Redding, and all these areas who are listening to our broadcast. We are grateful for those who listen in their homes and for those who have a church home with our service. And we pray that, oh, Father, you will bless their life and bless their heart as they listen to the service and as they praise the Lord with us in their homes and as they listen to the reading and the preaching of God's Word. We are grateful for missionaries, Father's Day, we hold in our church, for our brother Fred and Carol Lewis, now in Ukraine. Lord, thank you for your mercies on the long trip from America back to Ukraine. And Lord, they are preparing in 2 weeks to go to Siberia, where they're going to start a seminary for the Russian people. And we pray that you give them a strength and wisdom and the preparation of moving from the city where they are in Ukraine to Siberia. We pray for Carol and Ruth Knott. They are in visitation around America, or the churches they help them. For 18 years, they serve you, Father, in Spain, in Huasca, Spain. And now they are moving to Sevilla after this tour in America. Father, for Eusebio and Maritza Perez in the beautiful city of Benalmadena, and with a new project of a new building. For the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a place of refuge for those in need. For Ruben and Irene Zagert, who work in the city of Lodi with the Spanish-speaking people. And Father, we pray for strength and wisdom as they grow in their local church. Father, for the Christian Athletic Association, right here in the city of San Jose, where they reach the young people, not only with the sport activities, but with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. For Martha Peretti, as she returned successfully to Argentina, and they're going to start again their ministry in the Drug Addict Center and with the ladies of their local church. And for Daniel Lacey, for his success last week on the race in the East Coast, and now again this coming week from Thursday to Sunday, as he's going to minister. And as I talked to him, he said, Daddy, I have to do a job Sunday that was just pastoral, just comfort the people for different needs. And he told me, I have a big burden in my heart for my wife, and then I have to be there to help other people. And I remind him of that text of the scripture in 1 Corinthians 15, where our work on the Lord is not in vain. And God is a Father who will never forget what we do for others. And I thank you, Lord, for the light that we have in my daughter's sickness. And I'm sure that the steps to follow will bring her into back into herself and into the service of the living God. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God of great power, and you gave us things that perhaps we will never understand. But Father, it's for our good. And we praise you, your name for every difficulty, because we learn to suffer and we learn to be sympathetic to others and to guide others into the joy of the Lord, even through suffering. Lord, thank you for the provision you do for our church, and we look forward to the great festivity of the 20th anniversary. And Father, we can say with great pride that you were the provider for us for 20 years. We start in a little room in a bank, and now we own a property, and we own almost the airways all the way from Medellin, California to the north. And so, Father, thank you for being such a God, for being such an encouraging God to us, and for your people who are so faithful in providing for the ministry. So bless the offering, bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the second book of Moses called Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 15. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 48. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 15. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence because of your graciousness. We thank you for your Son and his obedience and gracious work on our behalf, paying the penalty due us for our sin. We thank you for the Holy Spirit's regenerating work in us. We are grateful that we no longer consider the keeping of your law a hardship, but though we must still contend with our flesh, we find that now grateful obedience brings great happiness. We pray now for your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero. We ask that you would bless him in his study of your word and bless him in his words as he exposes your word now. We pray for those listening here and on the radio and internet who do not know Christ, that they would believe the gospel and believe on the only Savior and find that they also love your law. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother. And before we address you on the sermon this morning, I want to welcome Pastor Van Dyken with us today, and he will be our speaker for our 20th anniversary and on that Sunday morning. And you better be strong for that day, all right? He is he's a great companion of our church, and he's a great partner with myself, and I just love him. And let's give a hand to him, all right? Let's give a hand. All right. Well dressed. Now I want to bring your attention to the Ten Commandments as we continue in our series of studies. Now the first four commandments have to do with my relationship with God. And the other six commandments have to do with our relationship to one another. The first guideline instructed us for the good of society, we find in verse 12, which is the family, taking the second part of the commandments. The second guideline God instructed us for the good of society is the sacredness of life, and that's on verse 13. The third guideline God instructed for the good of society is the permanency of matrimony, and that is verse 14. Now we come to the fourth guideline for the good of society, and has to do with the sacredness of property. Verse 15. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 15, thou shall not steal. Now, there are three things I would like to highlight from the Bible with respect to that text, thou shall not steal. And these are the three things I want to address you. Number one, the right of private property. The right of private property. Number two, the right of divine property. And number three, the right of spiritual property. So there are three areas of life that we need to consider from God's point of view when the Bible says, thou shall not steal. And I repeat it again. First, we need to see the right of private property, then the right of divine property, and then the right of spiritual property. Let's see what the Bible has to say. The right of private property. The commandment said, thou or you shall not steal. Now, the practical application of the commandment is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 28, page 690, if you are using the Bible that is in our pew. And by the way, for those who listen over the internet and those who listen over the radio, we will send you a Bible if you want to, so you can follow quickly in the scripture, because we will mention the page number, and so it's easy to find. Page 690, Ephesians 4:28, is the practical application of that commandment of private property. The Bible said, let him who stole steal no more or no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hand what is good, that he may have something to give him who has a need. Again, this verse give us an application of that command, you shall not steal. The Bible says, let him who stole steal no more or no longer, but rather let him labor. How you labor? The Bible says, working with his hands what is good, and there is a purpose in this, that he may have something to give him who has a need. So that's the practical application. In the Old Testament, we have the everlasting commandment, thou shalt not steal. In the New Testament, we have the reinforcement with the application, you should not steal, you should work with your hand, not only for yourself, but you have something to give to somebody else who have a need. Now, the clarification of verse 28 in Ephesians 4 is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, and verse 13, page 668. We have the command, you should not steal, you should respect private property. We have the reason how to do that. We have the way to do it. You work with your own hand, and you have for yourself, and you have for somebody else. And then we have the clarification of the entire commandment in Romans 12, verse 11, and verse 13, page 668. This is what the Bible said. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And now look in verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. If you cannot work, then you should not steal, but look up for help to support yourself till you got a work. It's what I call a breach. Our church has been on the market, and also St. Catherine Church here in town, because of the terrible economical situation of our country. And I was forced to help twice with 4 days breach to people who certify themselves and check the certification that they have been dismissed from a legal work and they are at the age of getting another work. And praise God for the newspaper Los Amigos here in town on Main Street, who have a listing. I've been talking to people. We need to list those who have garage for rent, a room in the back for rent, just to make a bridge for people for a week or for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, because it is about 30% of this occupation in the area. And they knocked the doors here, and they knocked St. Catherine's doors, and I called the priest, and I said, we need to engineer something together. The other churches are powerless in doing. May the Lord judge them according to their response. But we, who have a heart to help people, we need to engineer something. And so I went to a 430, a main street here, and there are a lot of laborers. I look Spanish, so I'll be all right, okay, in line. And so he came a truck, a contractor. And I went dressed like this. And so everybody, you know, he said, what kind of job you do? He said, I'm an engineer. You have a job for me? He said, no. He said, we're a contractor. We only pay $5 an hour. And I said, why? This guy deserves $7, $8, $10 an hour. He said, well, you know, these guys have their green car. And then you need to pay what it belongs to them. And if they don't work $10 an hour, pay $5. But I told the guys in line, you just don't go for $5 an hour. You work a day so good that the guy can afford to meet you tomorrow. That's the secret. And I tell you, this verse is wonderful. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. We make a breach. But remember Ephesians 4:28. You need to work with your hands. Don't get money from the government. Just give it away. Say, we don't need money from the government. We have hands to work, and we will provide for ourselves. We don't need any help from any government. We will make a bridge to the people. You should work in order to support yourself. And now remember, the scripture said, not only you support yourself, you got some change ready for somebody who is knocking the door and help you to do a breach as well. Perhaps you have parents that can do that. Perhaps you have sisters, brothers, cousins that you can get together and make a plan how you can have a breach for work. Perhaps you have friends. Perhaps you have a church body who is concerned with you. The two families that I have helped, one is Spanish and the other is American. And they were hard workers. I checked the lady, worked hard in the cannery. The man was a painter, a remarkable work, and they get laid off. And I said, wait, we have to get a job for you tomorrow. Do not apply to the government for easy money, because then you never work again. This welfare business is the devil's engineering so that we have more people without work. The Bible do not provide a government for you to draw money, provide a government for order only. And we make a government as a social provider, then God is our provider. He give you two hands, give you two legs, a head to think. And each time in Main Street that they see me at 5 o'clock in the morning over there, the contractor pass by because they know I want to fight for their salary. I tell you, somebody told me, he said, you can be a great union representative. That's another devil's creation. You fight for yourself. When I was an engineer, I finished a job and said, well, we have another job. Hold it. The other job is double. He said, oh, no. Well, then there's somebody else do it. You know, you have to fight for yourself. I work only 3 months as an employee. The rest, I said, no, in America. They work so slow. I want to put myself at an office in 3rd Street in San Mateo. Went to the office 5 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock in the night. Have 5 engineers with me. I tell you, we did our bad rapid transit in 10 months. A $10,000 station, the design. And I tell you, I thought it was money raining, but we had to work from 5 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock in the night. See? And we did the job without mistakes. And then he said, the same mistake? No. More money for the next one. He said, oh, no, I'm sorry. Well, then we don't do it. You see, the Bible provides that you work with your hand. Doesn't give you a minimum salary, no, a top salary. That's the devil's engineering so that you are worthless. The right to private property. You have a right for your salary. Not what the union said, not what the government said. It's what your capacity said. And let's do it. And as a church, let's give a hand to those who need it. Let's give a hand to those who have a breach on it, and so on. My friend, the Indian friend, where I take it to the hotel, he sit down and said, "You brought your Bible, Pastor?" And I did it just before the service. He said, "Yes, well, you people sit down here. He's going to read you the Bible." Amazing. The guy's an unbeliever, but he's looking for his business, you know, but to get the rooms busy. But God used it so that these people listen. And we give a Bible, we give an instruction on how to do it, and tomorrow morning I'll be there in that room to see if they are looking for a job. In other words, you provide the breach, and then you insisted and control that the breach is done correctly. If every pastor in this city will do this, I tell you that this occupation will go low, because people who do not like to work will move away from the city. Actually, I tell you, on 1,000 people, maybe 10 want to work. The rest, they want to hang out. And we don't give money away. We want people to work. We want people to work, and we provide it for you. Anything we need to do is to provide you the way. The right to private property. You have the right to work and the right to provide for your family. If something really difficult happened, let us put together our shoulder and help that person until that person goes on the way. That's what the Bible said. You work with your hand so that you have enough to provide for the other. And I thank you. And I thank you, because every beginning of every month when we have the Lord's Supper, you provide an abundant love offering. So they give me enough room to balance and to work with intelligence. I thank you, because you understand this. And I told the father in the St. Catherine Church, I said, we do this on every Lord's Supper. And you do this in every Mass, and you will have enough money. He said, well, we have certain money allowed to this and to the other. I tell you, we need to do that so that we help people to realize that God has a plan. Not the government. God has a plan. Your hands are precious. Your brain is precious. And use it to yourself. If you don't know how, we are here to direct you and to help you. The right to private property. Now, that's easy. The two now that follow are difficult and will touch your life and touch my life. Let's take the next one, the right of divine property. The command said, thou shalt not steal. And the Bible gives us in divine property an overall text in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 9, page 389. This is an overall statement. Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 9. Page 389. This is a general statement on divine property. The Bible said, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of your increase. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first salary you got. I give away my first salary in soccer. It was big. I cried the whole night for doing that. I give it away with not consent. But my cousin told me, if you want to be successful, that money you got last month is mine. He was the treasurer of the church. And otherwise, I tell your daddy, I tell your mom, I tell everybody, and I was coerced to give it. I'm glad I did after. At the moment I gave, I said, oh, this guy, then why they do that? Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. That means something that you appreciate from inside and you honor the Lord. Now, what is the spiritual application and how do you honor the Lord with your money? Turn your Bible to Malachi 3, and verse 8 to 10, page 557. Here is the spiritual application. I want you to see a word there that is also used in the New Testament. Malachi chapter 3, and verse 8 to 10. And the question comes like this. Will a man rob God? Verse 8. Yet you have robbed me. This is God speaking. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are not bringing the offerings to the house of God. Verse 9. You are cursed with a curse, For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And so the invitation is in verse 10. Bring all the tithe. You know what tithe is? It's one-tenth, 10%. Every $100 is $10. All right? Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. I want you to remember the word tithe. Not the 10%, but the percentage. God is dealing with the percentage. That there may be found in my house, and try me now, say the Lord, in this, say the Lord of hosts. Amazing. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out to you such a blessing that there will be no enough room to receive it. So God is talking about what? The proportion, the key word over there is the proportion. You have robbed me because you have not given in proportion to me. Now, the New Testament really clarified this beautifully in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, page 679. The New Testament is just so good at making the clarification of divine property. I'm talking to believers, of course. If you are an unbeliever, if you give a dollar, just you can get it back because we don't need the money of the unbelievers. But I'm talking to believers. You give in proportion in the Old Testament, and God mentioned a proportion. 10% actually was 24.5 if you study all the scriptures and all the things how they give. But God gave a proportion. Now look in the New Testament. Now concerning the collection, say the Apostle Paul, for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, as I told in the region of Galatia, so you must do also. So you people in Corinth are no exception. And what do we do, Paul? Look in verse 2. On the first day of the week, all right, that's on Sunday, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. In other words, he said, before Sunday, find out how much money you have made this week, and in proportion to that, and now it's free. It's not 1%, 2%, 3%, 10%, 11%. It's, now you are free. You are free. You are under the grace of God. And if you want to give 50%, go ahead. If you want to assign your money for a mission project, like some of you have done here, or for a need of somebody in church, like some of you have done here and blessed my heart to the top, then yes, you do it. But the key thought, again, is proportion. God has the right of property and a proportion of your income if you are a believer in Christ. 100% of your income is not yours. I don't know how much taxes you pay. You know the government takes a big chunk. More money you make, greater the chunk. And I know you pay it, and you do like that. And I will do like that. But when we give to the Lord, in proportion. There is no, I have to give this to the Lord. Don't do that, because God loves the cheerful giver. Don't do that. If you're going to say, I have to give this all to the Lord, keep it. Otherwise, it will be sin. Learn to give with joy. Learn to give with joy. And I tell you, this is beautiful. Because it gives you a total, complete control on your joy. You said, I have a salary of $1,000 and in my budget, and I hope you as a family have a budget, then I will do this for the Lord. Whatever that this is between you and the Lord, between your family and the Lord. And you will see that the next year, you can add maybe one more percent to the Lord. In the next year, you can add another percent to the Lord. Or the next year, you give the same, but you save some chunk of money for a project or some missionary need or whatever. Like we did the Bible, and some of the people who listen in the internet and on radio has sent money for the Bible. That's a project they have done. But listen, if the people of God will give in proportion to their income, the church of God is stronger than a bank. That's what in this church we never beg you for a penny. The Lord honor that. When we bought this building, the only thing I had to do was call Mr. Cassada and said, bring $220,000. I need it right now. He said, are you crazy? No, we get Brother Jack to engineer how we're going to pay it, but you bring the money now because the realtor is here and I don't want anybody to buy it. But Gabriel said, you bring the money now. And in that door, he gave me the check. And Raquel was here and Brother Jack engineered how four or five of us absorb that and pay back to our brother. And later on, some donations came into the church, and within no time, 3 years, we paid everything off. Without asking you for an extra penny. This business of extra penny. No, I believe in project. We need Bibles, we got Bibles. We have a man sick, we help the man sick. This church is proud. I'm proud of this church because a missionary in Canada, remember the priest who need the car? Somebody raised their hand in the back, a lady said, we pay the car. And they pay the car because they have that money. They don't know what to do. And when the need came in, they use it for the Lord. We had to put a fence here. This was a wild west in this place when we get it. As a matter of fact, the church was in black, white, green, and so on. Remember the night that you people worked here tremendously, 20 years ago. And one day, our Kasanjian family have an extra money and pay to fence the entire church. Now, that's biblical. That's biblical. And I challenge you to challenge yourself how much I can give to the Lord, not only in proportion, but the joy is, can we do this? And can we do the other? God has a right of divine property. That divine property is a proportion from your income. Think about it. All right. The next one, the right of a spiritual property. Thou shalt not steal. And when I was, how old are you, Anthony? 13? No, I was 20. Anthony is very tall. So girls do not write to me. He's only 13. Now, here's what happened. When I was 20, I said to myself, I'm going to do what I want with my money, my life, and this and the other. And I was a believer. Beyond, you know. Successful, playing soccer and all this. I got a good girlfriend who took my money after I collected from the field. So we saved it. Thank God. But I thought that I was in control of my body and my mind. I can do whatever I want to. Until you read in the scripture, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, verse 20, page 673. You read to the contrary. Look what Paul is saying to the people of Corinth. In verse 19, he says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Woo! For you were bought at a price. Underline that. You were bought as a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And the key sentence is, you were bought, so your body did not belong to you. So when I say to the young people, you cannot date an unbeliever, it's proper. When I say to a girl, no, even put your eyes in a boy who is an unbeliever, that's proper. Because God owns your body. That's the application. And what is the clarification? It's in Ephesians 4 and in verse 30, page 690. That's the clarification and why God has the right to your body. And because God has the right to your body, a spiritual property, look at what God says. In Ephesians 4 and in verse 30, he said, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom ye were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, how you grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Look in Ephesians 4, the context. Look in verse 25, same chapter 4. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. You see, you grieve the Holy Spirit when you do what you want with your body and you sin. You grieve the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible says, be careful, you cannot do what you want. We grieve the Holy Spirit because we sin. And some people said, well, I do what I want with my life, and you have no right to tell me what to do. Some people think Christianity is very narrow, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible teaches from verse 14 to 18 that you cannot marry an unbeliever. You only can marry a believer, whether the believer is white, yellow, brown, or coffee like me, coffee and milk, half and half color, so what, whatever. But have to be a believer. Have to be a believer. And people say, well, that's too narrow thinking. Well, talk to God, because that's the way God wrote it. And see, the Bible is a very strong in this. And so the Bible gives us a strong idea that God owns your life, as we saw, and now owns your spiritual life, and he wants to control. How does God control my life? By following the scripture. This is the guideline that God has given us, the Bible. This is the guideline. And as you follow the scripture, you are under the control of God. Somebody told me, you want us to be a puppet of Jesus. I wish I could. Perfect puppet of Jesus. I'd be the perfect husband, the most wonderful father, if I'm a puppet of Jesus. But God do not use you as a puppet. God said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And so now we find in the Bible, where are the commandments, what I call the guidelines, and we follow them. One of them, children, obey your parents. But pastor, my parents are a little crazy. Maybe so, but you have to obey your parents. There is no exception. See? Children are like an arrow in the hands of a mighty man. And so some people say, when we marry, how many children we will have? Don't ask me. Ask your wife or whatever. Because, see, there is no sin to have one and there is no sin to have 20. My father was between 17 brothers and sisters. And I enjoy an army of cousins. And it was fantastic. But each child, said the scripture, is an arrow in the hands of a mighty man. It's like a German tank in the hands of a good soldier. Now, only is an arrow in the hands of a mighty man if you put time for your children. If you guide them in the scripture. And you let them grow in the name of the Lord. We have people leaving our church in August to college. One in Michigan and the other in Oregon. And my heart started bleeding because I want to miss them. I remember when I missed my daughter, Jess and Davis. So one week she came home, the next week I was there, and sometime in the middle of the week I said, I wait for you in such and such a restaurant, and she came in, and I'm trying to find out what's really going on. Remember the day when she said, oh, I'm glad you come. I have news for you. Oh, boy, I got my car right away over there, and we were eating. And she said, tell me the news. She said, I would like to get married. She was in the last year of pre-medical school. I almost flipped over. With whom? With Daniel. Why? Because it's a man that I can submit to him. She said, I have the right answer. Because it's a man that I can submit to him. And I remember the day we're marrying Gilroy, that she marrying Gilroy. And I was with her and said, you know, we don't have to do the wedding. Look at what a father told him, the daughter just walking on the altar. I said, we don't have to do the wedding. Now you see the guy over there? You still want to submit to him. He had the wrong shoes. He has the black shoes rather than white shoes. I said, you still want to submit to him? He said, yes, Dad, forget it. Listen to the music and walk with me. We are not the owner of our spiritual life. God is. And young people, you will never repent it if you obey the Lord. Believe me, you will never repent it. As a matter of fact, we study already the commandment said that if you honor your father and mother, your days on this earth will be a blessing. The right of private property. You are the owner of your own hands. Don't let anybody own those hands. Don't let the union own your hands. Don't let the government own your hands. You are the owners of your own hand. Use it with might and a skill. And some of you do have a skill. And I pray for you that you will make tons of money, because I know that you are a believer and you're going to use it for God and for the education of your children. The right of divine property. Whatever income we have, remember, God is the owner of a proportion of that income. Somebody asked me, I preached this a long time ago, and somebody asked me, how you determine the proportion? All depends how much you love God. Don't ask me to tell you 10%, 1%, 3%. It's how much you love God. I close with the example of when I pastored Newer Bible Church in the city of Newer, California. I was very young, 37, 38 years old. But I believed from the very beginning a proportion to God. And some of the deacons told me my assistant pastor never put a penny in the offering. He works with me in family radio. And so I took him to lunch, and I said, David, what happened? You never put a dollar or something. And the deacons are worried. I'm not worried. I don't know what people put. But what happened? He said, well, Pastor, the salary in family radio is very low, and I don't have money. So don't you have a dollar? He said, well, a dollar is very little. Just put a dollar. And the next Sunday, challenge yourself to put two and three and four and see where God stopped it. This man was the inventor of the endless tape and the broadcast. So you have a tape, and then they go back again. He just put a little drop of platinum at the end, and this. He sold the invention, and he owns the mighty power stations from all the way from Nevada, I don't know to where. And he called me many times and said, I'm a millionaire today because I learned to honor God. I keep saying to him, I will send some of these to here, but I tell you, what a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. I don't know if you're going to become a millionaire or not, but I tell you one thing. When you do what God said, woohoo, you feel like a champion and like $1 million. Whether you have $1 million or not is not the case. The case is you are obedient to God. You're an example to others. Remember, God has a right to own you if you're a child of God. Thank God that he owns us. Thank God. Thank you, Father, for the blessings of knowing that you have the right upon our life. And thank you, Father, for the blessings to know that if we work with our hands, you will honor that. And you will help us to support ourselves and to go on in life. Lord, give wisdom to all the men here in church and those who listen, that they may be able to work with their hands with power. And that they be able to support their families with honor, so that their wife will be delighted to have a husband like that. The children will be delighted to have a man who supports and cares for the family. A man who honors you too, and Father, you will bless them more and more. Thank you, Father, because in our church, we already experience the joy of that giving, the joy of respecting you. And so, Father, we pray that many people will learn this wonderful guideline for our life. In Jesus, we pray and thank you for what you're going to do with us. Amen. Than houses or land.
I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be
Heavenly Father, we have learned from the scripture that you have guidelines for us to follow. Today was a guideline of property. And sometimes we confess to you, we forget about to whom we belong to. And we try to do the things that pleases to us, but without checking if that pleases to you. And so, Father, help us to live a life that walks with you, a life that is careful to follow your guidelines. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.